not sure what the true colors of you. I don't think you're sure either, but, you know, it'll be what it'll be. The time of Purim. Now, I want to start out with saying none of this is halachic. If you were there and you listened to Receive, everything Receive said was halachic, and I agree with from a halachic point of view. And if you're of Ashkenazi descent, you know, you really shouldn't drink a lot on Purim. And in parts of America, that seems to be more of a followed thing. You know, Israel's like, you know, a little more. Like, there was a guy last year in my parking lot as we were leaving. He was trying to dance with, like, you know, those dumpsters that don't move. Like literally trying to move a dumpster. But those dumpsters are, like, you know, probably tons and tons and tons of pounds. So obviously you're not going to be able to move it. And so I don't know how much that goes on, like, in America. I think people are, like, you know, it's sort of, I always feel like Purim in America is sort of like Thanksgiving and a Jewish holiday. But it's, like, the same idea. You get together with family. You know, you have some food, maybe there's like a little drinking, but in Israel it's probably a little different. So I'm not thinking from a halachic point of view, yeah, you drink a little, that's definitely a halachic. But we're going to talk more from the hashkafic point of view. Now, if one's like a complete alcoholic, and like every single day they get drunk, they probably shouldn't drink on Purim and should probably see somebody. So yeah, we're not, you know, and he goes like, you shouldn't be mixing drinks, like, you shouldn't be doing like stupid things that can, you know, for the most part, if like you just drink wine, like nothing really bad, you know, can happen. Like, you know, you've had that, you know, you have bad fish, you know, you also have stomach issues, like, you know, or you just have fish in general, you should have stomach issues, we should get rid of fish. But, you know, there's all kinds of, whatever, you know, it's gonna be what it's gonna be. But if someone's a person who's like, no, I dafka, I never drink, I never do that, like, I always need to have full control of my life. So that person, you know, alachas kama kama, Tarv and I, we're gonna shove alcohol down your throat until you don't know what's going on anymore. But it's specifically that, and that's a little bit of a joke. But it's specifically that person. You have to be able to leave that zone. You can't always in your life be like, I have full control of everything that's going on, because I'm going to give you a spoiler alert and a newsflash, that's not how life works. You don't have full control of what's going on. Like, you know, at some point in Caleb's life, he's not going to have control, like, how he dresses. Like, he's not going to be able to come to the law firm, you know, with his wool sitzes over his shirt. You know, unless he starts like some Hasidic whopper, like he's just not going to have control of it. Obviously, in Leva Torah, you could basically do whatever you want. Like, there's not really, you know, it's a little bit of the wild, wild west here. Like, you could literally do whatever you want. So, okay, but at some point, you have to have. So, like, we don't really always have control of what's going on. And if the reason we're not drinking is because we're afraid, oh, what's going to happen when I'm a little loose? When I don't have full control, okay, you have to be smart. Like, you know, if you're full, totally, you know, gone, like, don't keep drinking, and then don't have stuff that are more dangerous. Like, obviously, that wouldn't, like, I had a guy once who probably had, like, 2-3 bottles, and then went and had, like, 14 shots of vodka after. That's not a very smart idea. I don't endorse that or recommend that. So you have to have a little bit of chachma, but we can't live life that I always have control. I always have control. Like, I'm going to do that. It's the same, like, like, you know, if people are like very, very health conscious, maybe we know some would be like that. Sometimes in life, you might just have to eat a cookie that just may be what's presented before you, and you have to be or vice versa. People like me who like to eat just Doritos all day. There comes a time in life where you have to have lettuce, and you know, shopping for the Chardos, you know, it's not a cheap venture. I do that today, buying all these vegetables that we bought today. You know, it's much easier to eat on. It's much cheaper to eat unhealthy. Okay. Sometimes in life, you have to be willing to go out of that zone, because you're just and you'll see it. You'll see it at Purim especially. Like, you know. Okay. Like, let's say you sit in that chair and then you move over two chairs over. Like, okay, some people, like, you know, they really are OCD. And, like, they can't go on with life if they do that. But hopefully, you know, we're not living in that kind of life. You know, it's not the life we want to be living in. But, you know, when it comes, especially on Purim, when it comes to drinking, like, that's really getting out of that zone. Especially if you don't drink, like, you're able to see, like, you're just a different self. One of my closest Talmidim, whoever went to Leva Torah, is getting married in like 10 days from now, a week and a half. Baz Hashem, can't wait for his chasana. And when he was Shana Aleph, he told me one of the most depressing things, like, I'm not coming to Purim soon. I'm like, all right. us here. Why not? Like, no, I'm not going to do it. What are you going to do? Like, I'm going to go to my room and have like a Nature Valley bar and like potato chips. I'm like, that is the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, that's like, that's like having a stroke at like 53 and living till 95 and just not being able to do anything for 40 years. Like, that's like the saddest thing I had ever heard in my life. And I apologize if any of you know people had a stroke at 53 and then lived till 95. But that is the saddest thing I had ever heard in my life. And lo and behold, we were able to get him to come to our Purim Suda, and he got plastered. And I tell him, like, you wouldn't have a normal life today if you hadn't done that, because you'd still be in your room having a Nature Valley bar and a bag of chips. Like, you have to be able to get out of that zone and realize, I'm not going to have full control on everything that goes on in life. And let's see what side of myself, you know, we're able to get to and what I'm able to do. And it'll be life changing. Be'ezus Hashem, it'll be life changing. When I was in yeshiva, you know, things were a little different back then. I mean, yeshivas as a whole and high schools were a little different back then. I think as a whole, this went on. You actually had to learn Gemara. It wasn't like a choice. You learn Gemara in the morning, you learn Gemara at night, because that's what places did. There wasn't like, oh, let's do something else. No, that's what everyone does. So you have to do that. And, you know, and it wasn't so different back then. I hate Gemara. That's great. You hate Gemara, you're still doing it. Like, there's no like alternative. There was no meditation and Tanakh and Emunah, Tefillah, they're all great things. And I pitched that for 2 weeks. That's why Leva Torah is unique. So, you know, I'm kind of being a hypocrite to what I was preaching for guys who come here next year. But back then, like, you had to learn Gemara. So nowadays, you can just do whatever you want. The guy tells me, yeah, I haven't opened up a Gemara all year. I'm like, what about mornings? They're like, no, they don't do that. Like, we can do whatever we want. And I'm not like saying like, you know, one or all. Like, I'm not saying like, it isn't like right now, okay, you have to only learn Gemara. If you don't learn Gemara, like, okay, we should all be Steve Berman, who's going to make a CM on Megillah, and every single day during break is going through Megillah. It's beyond inspiring seeing, you know, every day another, now, you know, I think there were more than just you. It wasn't just you originally. But, you know, now it's a one-on-one Chavrusa. And, you know, that's very, very inspiring being able to see that. But that's also like getting a little bit out of our box. Like, you know, we're very, no, I don't want to do that. I got to stay at my comfort level. You know, I could handle like Man's Search for Meaning. Okay, I'm sure that's probably actually very complicated. But, you know, like I could handle something like that, a Man's Search for Meaning. Like, I don't want to do anything that's like, you know, that if my mind has to like work. Like, you know, I don't want that. You know, this is like night. I want to be able to put my feet up, you know, kind of be watching football like while Shear is going on. Like, that's what I want to do. Never try to expand. I want to throw a mark in your head so badly. Never try to expand and build off that. But sometimes in life, and you know, it doesn't mean like if you can't, like for Charnock, who's like an amazing, amazing Baal Machshava and incredible depth in Hasidus, and until like when he was his first year here, he said he hadn't opened up a Gemara in like 10 years. And he was a rabbi. And he was giving shiurim, and he hadn't opened up a Gemara in 10 years. Now, I don't really understand what that means, like how you give a shiur and never opened up a Gemara, but okay, fine, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, they're exaggerating or lying.
No, I think he's telling the truth. But then he started to do something. He started learning Gemara, and he really and for him also that was very, very important. And there's two morals in that story. Number one, yeah, you know, if you're a gifted person, like there's Rabbi Beasley's of the world, you know, there's people who are like really, really gifted in their field and call kavod and go all in that area of Torah, and we have to learn that which we like, you know, don't like no one gains if like you learn that which you don't learn, and then you don't like, and you end up not learning. But there's something to even people that are only Gemara oriented people. Like, I think that I think for even like, you know, you see it in yeshiva. Like, I think for a day, if Ramo became Rasiv and Rasiv became Ramo, I think that would be good for them. I actually think that would be very good and healthy. I think there's I think expanding and not always just being one way. Like, you can't live the world only being one way. Like, if you ever watch like the involvement of sports, like, you know, I was recently curious, like I don't know, the top like 100 points per game scorings in the history. I saw Will Chamberlain had like 55 of them. Now, probably back then, you know, people were shorter. I don't know, and maybe life was a lot easier for him. But I don't think if he played nowadays, like he would have that same dominance, because the way the NBA is played today is just different. Like, it's just like pull up threes. It's like, you know, it's like if you don't take 35, 40 threes a game, like you're doing something very, very wrong. But that wasn't the way the game used to play. But that's how life goes. Life evolves. Life's not always going to stay going to stay in the same way. And we have to have our eyes open for that and be looking for things that, okay, how am I gonna get out of my bad? Now that doesn't mean we all have to switch to Rav Kovi shir if you're not in a Gemara shir night tonight. That's not what I was saying, although maybe that should be implemented. But that's not what I was saying. But it's having our eyes open to, I cannot have my life that I always am going to be in my same zone, and I'm never ever going to go out of my comfort zone, because not even from like a learning, you're just not going to be successful in life. Like you can't be successful in marriage. You can't be successful in work if I only do this. I'm never ever going to see any other horizon. You're just not. It's not going to work. It's going to end up being an utter failure. You're at an important crossroads in your life. You know, you're concluding the end of your Shana Aleph, and you're contemplating what to do next year. Maybe not contemplating, maybe are contemplating, but probably most people are contemplating. This is not like an anti, like, you know, go to McGill, go to Rutgers, go to Maryland, you know, whatever, wherever one's going, UF, you know, whatever people are doing, you know, whatever those schools in Toronto that cost like $14 a year are, you know, do those. Not York anymore.
What?
What's the college in Toronto everyone goes to?
York. I mean, there's U. I'm going to York.
What's the other one?
U of T. Ryerson, maybe?
Ryerson. Whatever the cases might be, like people having their minds. Like, even that, like, whatever you're going to do for next year, whatever you're going to do, but it can't be, because when I came into ninth grade, I made a decision, I'm going to work hard, and I'm going to get into, like, whatever university I'm going to get into. Some of them aren't even that good, so it's, like, crazy that, like, I have to hold, like, with all my cards, and, like, I'm not, like, here preaching about why you're, like, such a great player, or Landers, for that matter, or Queens College. But no one's convincing me that anyone who's gone to Rutgers and Binghamton have come out, like, they're further ahead professionally because they went to there over those other places. Maybe they did better, so they're further ahead professionally. But, like, you know, I told Benny Gray last year, when I'm like, where are you going to college? Like, MIT. I'm like, I'll never tell you not to go to MIT. That's a very good college. You get into a very good college. You deserve to go there. I'm not going to tell you, like, to shift your whole life plan. But other places that are all really just the same. Okay, then there's what to say. But at this point in your time, like, whatever you're going to do, it doesn't matter. You can go to all these places. It doesn't make a difference. But be open. Be open to maybe there's something else out there. Maybe there's a different option. It's very, very comfortable for me. You know, I'm already in the WhatsApp Binghamton group. Do you know what will happen if I don't go? I might have to leave a group. Now, we don't want to, like, start, like, crazy, crazy things going on in this world, like leaving WhatsApp groups. Like, that would be... Thank you. That would be like the most nuts thing that's ever happened in the world. Like, maybe I even have a roommate already. Like, you know, crazy, crazy things that are going on. Like, you know, I can't even imagine such a life obstacle. But with things like that going on, but just be open. Maybe there's something else. Maybe I just am going to look into what will have me be a little less comfortable. It's a good thing. I know it sounds like, you know, in life we want to be comfortable. Like, you know, I've only been to, I think, 3 or 4 football games in my life, and I think the weather's always been awesome. But I can imagine, like, if I had just had different mazel and gone in, like, November, and, like, you know, no one wants to be in a football game when it's, like, negative 12 degrees and you're like this and you're not moving. Like, that's not really, like, you know, the same way, like, I wouldn't want to stand outside for 3 hours in, like, the freezing weather, like, or the boiling weather. Like, it's not really that comfortable. Like, in life, we want to be comfortable. Like, I get it. That's definitely, it's comforting. It's comforting to be in a position in life of comfortability. But to be open to somehow, some way, that maybe there's something else, and I might have to leave that comfort zone and try something else. And if I end up deciding, you know, no, it made sense. My decision that I made when I was in 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, throughout my Shana Aleph, it made sense. Like, and even, like, I'm going to be, like, the really, really frum guy in that place, and I'm going to do, like, amazing, like, you know, I'm going to be Makari of everyone. Like, you know, when the girls are going to come over to me and want to give me the big hugs and whatever else is going on, no. I'm going to get them, like, into, like, Beis Yaakov. Like, you know, we're going to make, it's going to be University Beis Yaakov and Yeshiva Katana. Like, I'm going to transform everything and Kol Kavod, you know, when you end up doing that, not if, but when you end up doing that, Kol Kavod to each and every one of you for your amazing, amazing contributions. But being open that maybe there was something else. And, like, everything in life, like, and I have it all the time. Like, I try to get, you know, I'm in a zone. Like, sometimes you come back to that area because it just makes sense. Like, That's the logical. That's a logical thing. And getting back to the beginning, like, it makes sense for me. Like, if I don't want it. I heard crazy stories where I'm perv. Now, this will not hopefully not happen to my home, because I'll probably kill you if it happens. But I've heard crazy, crazy stories of where, like, this guy who was friends with Shana Aleph, he actually ripped off his rabbi's wife's shetel on Purim. So, like, okay, my wife's in the world, you know, okay, whatever, you know, techo, whatever, like, you know, I'll probably kick you. You'll very, very quickly get thrown out of my home if you do that. Like, it won't be like, oh, like, do we have to, like, I think he ended up getting kicked out. But, like, yeah, so that's why sometimes you
still messed up.
You have to know yourself. Like, if you're gonna be at that point, like, you know, if you might do something, okay, it's not that you don't have to cry over the story. I mean, it was a sad story, but you know, if you think you're gonna do something like that, okay, you have to. So if you get back to that being your how you decided what to do, shkayach, amazing. But thinking about, like, where am I gonna be? Where is my comfort zone? And how can I branch out of that comfort zone? And I was an avid walker. I still walk a bit, but I was like a crazy, crazy walker. And then last October, 16 months ago, I said, like, you know, why don't I try running? I never did it. I never had run before. I've never done it. I'm like, I probably can't do it. I'm like, I'm not going to be a run walk person. I'm like, I'm not doing any of that nonsense. Like, I'm either in or I'm out. Like, and if I can't do it, I can't do it. I don't know. Like, the first day I did, I don't know, like 0.4 miles. In like 7 minutes, and I was like dying. I'm like, oh my god, how do people do this? This is like absolute. What? I don't know. That was absolute. I do a pre walk in a pull-up.
Are you doing a Jerusalem marathon?
No. I do it all with Shema, not for swag or merch, as we call it, or for I did a marathon. But whatever. As time went on. No, it's not shtick. It's not shtick.
I wouldn't call it shtick if you're fundraising money.
No, it's not shtick. And last week, like, I broke like 8 miles, like, and it became like a total. It was like, I became like a little bit obsessed with it, but it really, really, like, expanded. That, like, I never thought I could do it. Like, but in my comfort zone, okay, I walk, and you know that's like healthy also. You know, especially in, like, Ramat Beit Shemesh, everything's hills and steps. Like, you know, probably walking is still like a high level of good health. But I'm like, okay, let me see what I'm able to do. And lo and behold. And again, and I'm sure in all of your lives, you have stories also where you've done that. Like, when I was also in yeshiva, I mean, obviously times are just very different back then. But when you went to Eilat, you did a Har Shlomo. I mean, remember that. So when I went to yeshiva, there was no option. Like, are you doing Har Shlomo or not? You were doing Har Shlomo or else. Like, there was not like, oh, are you going to do this or not? Like, when we did Masada, so I think this is really cruel and unusual punishment. We did a tiyul for the Super Bowl. We watched the Super Bowl. We dived in Masikin. We slept till noon. And then we did Masada in the afternoon. The afternoon doing Masada is basically like trying to like walk through Gehenna. They thought we'd want to sleep. Okay, I'm sure we would have wanted to sleep. But there was no like, oh, can I take the cable car there? Can I not do it? You had to do it. And I remember Masada actually having like one of the Majrachim who had a gun. Like, it was like on us. Like, I'm gonna shoot him. Like, you felt the presence of a gun on you. Yeah, if that happened today, what would happen is someone's parent would call Rositron of Boaz or Natanel. You'd have a cop showing up and arresting Ramo, and probably the teal would be ending. You know, the times were very, very different, but I tell the Ramo all the time. Like, the fact that he made, and they're in terrible shape, and there's nothing they want to do less. The fact that he made us do Har Shlomo, probably made Masada less than the sun, but the fact that he made us do Har Shlomo, I totally became a different person. Because obviously my comfort zone is, no, I grew up in, like, I never hiked in my life. Like, you know, I didn't move. Like, everything was car, car, car. Like, you know, I lived a block away from shul. Like, there's no such thing as, like, you know, long adventures. Like, you know, the fact that you're making us do this crazy 6-hour hike in a lot or going on mountains, I think that, like, you know, I don't. I've tripped while running. Like, somehow, if you trip while you're doing that, like, life over. Like, somehow that's okay. And we were going that, but it makes you a different person, because as opposed to being like, okay, I'm not doing it. It's not comfortable for me. That's not my level of comfort to be able to do that. But that's what life is, and socially, that's the same thing. You have to get out of like those. You know, like Rav Asher was telling me recently. I don't know. It used to be like, you know, things were different. Like, yeah, because you used to have to interact with people because there was nothing else to do. Like, it wasn't like now, like, you know, you get out of shul. Like, if I tried talking to someone as opposed to going on my phone, like, why are you talking? Like, we just davened for 12 minutes. You know how many WhatsApps I might have gotten in 12 minutes? Like, why would you even think about talking? He's like a firm guy. He doesn't look at his phone during davening. Like, you know, but, you know, like, you know, even that, just to go out of that zone also. Like, who is my, what do I feel? I feel comfortable when I'm with this group of people. So let me see what I am when I'm with other people. Like, trying to branch out and not just living life through a life of, through a life of comfort, because as life goes on, you're going to see struggles, and you know you're not going to be on Daf Chav Tes and Megillah like Steve Berman if you're only being, oh no, it's comfortable for me, like, and it's during break, you know, you're not even doing it like during, you know, quote unquote time when you have to be in shiur and you have to be in the basement. Like, during his break, he could be playing basketball, he could be playing tennis, he'd be playing D&D, he could be sleeping, he could be watching Netflix. You know, we could go on and on. On things that he can do. I said D&D, now I can't post it, says leave a Torah. I'll get in trouble for that. But he decided, you know, let me see what I'm able to do. And every one of us can have it. And whatever that is, doesn't have to only be learning Israel. Whatever it is for you is wine. We're gonna get you good and drunk. We're gonna end in one minute. But whatever that is, you owe it to yourselves. Each and every one of you. The nine of you owe it to yourselves to find out what that is. What is my comfort zone? And trying to find one thing, picking one thing that I'm going to be like, you know, I'm going to try to do something else that's maybe not as comfortable, but it's opening me up to different things so that my life doesn't have to always be like, I always feel. Now, that doesn't mean like, you know, if you feel comfortable driving 80 miles an hour, why don't I see what happens if I go 130 miles an hour? Like, you know, you don't have to be stupid. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, I don't usually drink, so let me go up right now and, like, you know, go have 10 shots of, like, scotch and then, you know, come back into shiur. That doesn't have to be that, but whatever within reason is that's normative behavior, to try to find something and to open yourself up and to see what you're able to accomplish when you leave that zone. But you'll find that your life will be different and you'll be much, much more successful when you're not always in the same level of comfortability.